Well, good morning. My name is Tamis Hernandez. I'm a master's level social worker licensed in the state of Montana. I would like to acknowledge Tracy McNew, who does a lot of research coordination at CARD, and Dr. Charlene Winters, who is our academic partner, one of them, who we've worked with for the past 9 years and has helped us to develop this presentation. Today I'm going to talk a little bit about community-based participatory research in an environmental public health disaster setting. I have no financial relationships to disclose, and this presentation is going to address two major learning objectives. The first is to explain the important elements of community-based participatory research, which I will call CBPR for the rest of the presentation, and what important elements we need to adhere to in addressing community-based public health issues. I will also identify the positive outcomes experienced in Libby, Montana, that can serve as a model for other communities living near a contaminated site or facing an environmental public health disaster. So first I thought it would be helpful to know a little bit more about what happened in Libby, Montana. Therefore, I am going to quickly give you some background on the community-wide asbestos exposure that occurred in our community. Libby is located in the northwest corner of Montana, 72 miles south of Canada, 35 miles east of Idaho. The Libby proper area is about 2,800 residents, and the surrounding area is about 12,000. That means our county averages about 6 people per square mile. The nearest Walmart or mall and many medical specialists are at least 90 miles away. Historically, the Libby community relied on natural resource extraction, jobs like logging and mining. One of the best jobs in town in the past was working at the vermiculite mine. Vermiculite is a rock that when heated expands and it retains its fire-resistant properties. But what the community did not know for several years, like 70 years, several decades, was that the vermiculite was contaminated with amphibole asbestos. It was intertwined in large rock form, as well as in nanoparticles that are invisible to the human eye. Vermiculite had many uses, and it was offered free to the community from the company, so it was utilized in many ways throughout. In the upper left is an aerial view of town, because we had 2 popping plants in Libby proper. We used vermiculite as a base for the running track and the baseball fields. You can see one of the expansion facilities in the background behind the ball field. So there were often waste piles adjacent to it where children would play in the piles where their siblings played baseball. It was an excellent soil conditioner, so it was put in gardens throughout the community and everyone insulated their homes. The attic insulation was one of the company's primary commercial products, and today it is estimated to be in 10 to 35 million homes across America. In 1999, a media expose revealed the health impacts affecting the community from the asbestos-contaminated vermiculite. We realized that 70 years of exposure had been occurring through occupational avenues and many environmental. It affected multiple generations, often in the same family. In 2000, EPA responded and began to look at the toxicity of the fiber and identify the many exposure pathways. Community-wide cleanup also began. ATSDR responded in 2000 and 2001, screening 7,200 current and former residents, and discovered that 18% had possible asbestos-related lung abnormalities. Thus, in 2000, the community hospital developed a department to diagnose and care for the affected population. In 2003, the community developed the Center for Asbestos-Related Disease. It's a nonprofit, community-based clinic governed by a volunteer board of directors, regular community members. We have an electrician, teachers, Forest Service workers, people who used to work at the mine, and of course people living with asbestos-related disease. In 2003, we also began exploring the option of research. We were noticing that a new disease presentation was being seen from the amphibole asbestos, and the community dynamics weren't following the usual disaster recovery trajectory that federal programs were designed to address. In 2009, EPA declared a public health emergency. It's the first time in American history that EPA has ever made that designation under Superfund law. We had had over 400 deaths, more than 3,000 people are diagnosed, and there's an estimated 50,000 people who are exposed with uncertain futures at this time. In 2010, Federation for Long-Term Health Benefits was developed under the Affordable Care Act that helped the LIMBY community, but also any other community that might become a public health emergency. So that's a little background. And now I will talk to you about how CBPR was implemented in LIMBY. We've all talked about CBPR a lot today, so just some of the key premises to remember is that CBPR means that research is done with the community, not on a community or population of interest. It's an active and equal partnership where all partners contribute their expertise and share in decision making. It's essential to establish trust and utilize respectful, open communication. There are six key principles of CBPR, and I'm going to walk through each one of these, explaining how LIBBY implemented each one successfully. Although, of course, we did have a few bumps in the road along the way. Principle one. Define community as a unit of identity. The community of interest in LIBBY was past and present residents who were exposed to the asbestos. One thing to know about asbestos-related disease is that from the point of exposure, you have a 10 to 40 year latency period before the disease develops. And so that's how it kind of went unrecognized for so many years, because it's not an immediate outcome. So the second part of defining our community was that the Center for Asbestos-Related Disease was created as a community-based organization to provide screening, treatment, and serve as a community liaison with the larger asbestos health research world. In the beginning, we really had never heard of CBPR. We just knew we had questions and wanted to be a meaningful partner in figuring out how to answer them. So early on, we invited a couple of asbestos researchers out to LIBBY to kind of take a look at the disease presentation we were seeing. They encouraged us to seek a local economic development grant, and we secured funding for two research meetings to be held in LIBBY. We invited academic researchers, federal agency representatives, experts in the field of asbestos from around the nation. In the first meeting, consensus was established that LIBBY amphibole asbestos health effects were unique and that the psychosocial impacts being experienced were also atypical compared with more sudden disasters. This represented the co-learning and an equal partnership beginning to be built. Principle 3, ensure projects are community driven. It was important to CARD as a representative of the community to be a voice at the table in setting the research agenda. The second meeting developed a comprehensive research agenda across multiple institutions and topics. Principle 4, promote active collaboration and participation at every stage of research. In the first couple of years since the disaster was realized, researchers from many academic institutions showed up with their own show and began to do research on the community. There was also disclosure that the company was aware of the risk of the asbestos contaminating the vermiculite, and so suddenly we had a huge mistrust of outsiders. You know, who are all these researchers? Do they work for the company? How do we navigate this as community members? Thus, the community began to strongly trust CARD, their local community-based nonprofit organization. CARD became the clearinghouse to look out for the best interests of the community, to coordinate multiple projects, and to ensure that community was always involved in all stages of the research. One of the lessons we also learned, other than the scattered approach researchers initially took, is that we did not want to be, so to speak, a research population owned by one university. It was our value that the more academic partners we had at the table, the quicker we would find answers to our questions, because we learned different schools, universities had different expertise. With True CBPR, there is a balance between community and academic partners at each stage of the research process. When we formulate questions, the community needs it to match their life experiences. Yet, of course, from an academic, it needs to be a testable hypothesis. In obtaining background knowledge, you need to balance what has been done and learned through professional literature, but also to understand the unique experiential knowledge of the community engaging. In formulating design, it needs to be meaningful to the community and culturally appropriate, yet still scientifically sound. When we evaluate results, of course, from an academic angle, they need to have statistical significance, but they also need to have clinical or community application significance. When we formulate conclusions, it of course needs to tie to the original hypothesis, but it also needs to relate to real life experiences and outcomes that may benefit or at least enlighten the community. In regards to dissemination, it needs to be disseminated across the board, from the general public to local community professionals, of course to academic journals and professional conferences. Principle 5 is to ensure that research and interventions are culturally appropriate. Libby, Montana is 95% Caucasian. We have an average household income of $33,000 a year, and we mostly have been a blue-collared working-class community. Early on, one of our behavioral health researchers held some focus groups to confirm the values of our local culture in up there in Northwest Montana. And the values identified were independence, self-sufficiency, taking care of one's own, and community pride. Thus, the community was eager to participate in research, to find new treatments and hopefully a cure one day for the future generations that had already been exposed. This represents taking care of one's own and that sense of community pride. They also valued their independence and self-sufficiency, which meant they weren't going to go to no support groups, and they weren't going to see a social worker or any mental health professionals. So so to address the psychosocial issues that were very prevalent in the community, we took an individual approach. It's just part of your healthcare visit. There's nothing special about you or wrong with you. It's just part of your screening. And, you know, you're not talking to the social worker, but you might stop in and say hello to Tammy. And so that was what fit in our community. Principle 6 is to disseminate results in useful terms. Translation to the community can be done in many ways, but what it basically entails is making sure community members understand results. One of our big annual events we call the Research Rally, where any partner who does research with us, has a grant with us, comes to the community and participates in a rally. It's actually kid-focused and hands-on interactive learning, but there, anyone in the community can show up and have a conversation with a researcher. It also can be important to have meaningful implications for how services are delivered through the what we have learned through the research. Of course, contributing to science is important so that knowledge gained in Libby, Montana can be shared beyond the local community. And our academic partners have done an excellent job at involving many of us community members in having those opportunities. In addition, national policy was developed. Academically sound research and a strong community voice of experience and impacts on people really got the attention of our senators, who were then able to develop federal policy in the Affordable Care Act to ensure that people who live in a public health emergency declared from a Superfund site have access to health care. And that would not just be in Libby, that would be anywhere that that might unfold. Of course, community-based participatory research is an ongoing process. As questions are answered, new questions emerge. And it is important to have community engagement in deciding where to go next. CARD and the Libby community strongly believe in CBPR and the importance of the community role and having trust and respect with our academic partners. CARD has collaborated with nearly a dozen academic partners. We can be in different stages in the research process or relationship development with different partners and projects at the same time. We look forward to continuing CBPR with our partners into the future. Thank you.